Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I must admit that sometimes I grow a bit frustrated when I listen to some Christian leaders give the impression that for them, the Christian life is all victory, all on the upside, living, if you will, with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, I can't deny that that's their experience, but it sure isn't my experience. The journey of Christian formation is not easily traversed. There are times when, in fact, it is rather difficult and filled with ups and downs. That's not meant to be discouraging at all. It's just meant to be honest. And hopefully by this time, in listening to Sling Stones, you realize that to some degree I choose vulnerability over trying to give an impression that things are true when in fact they are not. So with that in mind, I have to admit that sometimes I get, rather frustrated with God. Oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything the Father does, but I also can get frustrated because, I think that he doesn't act obviously sometimes, especially when I need him to, display more overt power, be more existentially present. I guess I could build the argument that more people would believe if God would do that. But the truth of the matter is, most of the times when I'm frustrated with that, it's because I'm struggling, and I think it would make my journey of Christian faith easier if the Lord would simply give me a sign. Yep. Give me a sign, O Lord. I guess I'm being vulnerable in this conversation, but I have a feeling it's going to relate to some of you. I admit it. There are times when I want the Lord to act with far more wind than whisper, that I'm not looking for simply indirect surprises, but I want something that is crystal clear coming from the throne of God and, if you will, a little more fire. You know, if you read your Bible, you can see in the life of Jesus, he would have none of that. No one was going to turn Jesus into a celebrity or into a hero. Now, I admit, like so many people in our culture, I kind of like a person who dazzles me, who does the extraordinary. But often that's only true until the shine wears off. You know, the favorite athlete or actor or astronaut, we admire them so much, and to some degree, I guess we envy them. But Jesus would not allow anyone in his time to turn him into that kind of celebrity. He wasn't going to be someone's personal hero. You know, I think Jesus wanted to be known well instead of being well known. He didn't want to just be the miracle worker. But his appeal was appeal of love. His motivation was love. His invitation was that we would love. And everything he did out of love, not in an effort to impress anybody. I was recently speaking at an event where there were a number of college students, and they were very, very enthusiastic. And in the opening prayer, I heard the individual that was praying make a comment, "Oh, Jesus, please show up and show off. Please show up and show off." Boy, at first, I was like, amen. Man, we would go to a whole new level of faith, no whole new level of belief if Jesus would just show up and show off. Now, look, I'm one that believes that Christ heals. He does still work signs and wonders, that his children need to step out in authority. But I would argue that he does all of this out of acts of love. Jesus does come in power. We see it all through Scripture. Even Paul said that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it is a matter of power. But it seems that all that power is to be rooted in love, and demonstrations of power can never be a substitute for love. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but it's been a few weeks now, but, well, I had a tough time in a ditch of anxiety again. It didn't last long at all, but it was tough, as it often can be. And man, when it rises up, it's so easy for me to go to self-hatred and to shame, and then from there I get frustrated. Why doesn't God just heal me of this? I would tell the story to and fro. If he would just dazzle me, I would be better and I wouldn't have to struggle through this. And any doubt that lingers within me would be completely eliminated because I had this unbelievable experience of the presence of God active in my life. Now look, God does touch me. He did touch me. It was gentle. It was over time, and it was through, if you will, common means, through some people coming around me, giving me encouragement. But I have to admit, there was no dazzling. I think it was deep, but there was no dazzling. And I think I asked him to dazzle me. Somehow I must have believed that if I would be dazzled by God, all of a sudden, all my doubts and all my questions would go away, and I would be forever secure in my unshakable faith in God's presence, his goodness, and his power. You know, I want to say something that caught my attention recently. You know, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus really needed the Father to break through, and he did, and there were angels that came. But you do know that the next day when things were very, very tough, the fact that he did see angels the night before didn't eliminate the question from Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Now, I want to go on with this conversation, but let me make something clear. I believe there are experiences of the not yet in the now. When God does break through, when people are healed, when blind eyes do see, though I've never experienced that myself, I believe that's still very present. But what I'm talking about here is that when I begin to struggle, it seems that I want to press God into settling my issue by showing off in some way so that I don't have to wrestle anymore. Has that ever happened to you? Do you ever wish God would just show up in some amazing way to settle any doubts you had or to eliminate your own struggle? I have wished that. And so recently this thought came to my mind. I wonder if I'm playing the same game with Jesus that Satan did. Boy, that's a very terrifying thought. It's rather shocking, isn't it? But let me explain. Martin Luther says that he thought that Satan wasn't all that sure that Jesus was the Messiah. I mean, after all, born into poverty, even before the temptation, hadn't done anything obvious to impress Satan that this was, in fact, the Messiah. And would God really leave the fate of the kingdom to two rural teenagers, Mary and Joseph, who would then raise a son in obscurity? So according to Martin Luther, what Satan wanted to do was to get Jesus to show off. Look, are you the Son of God? If so, show off. Turn stones into bread. Jump off that cliff. Let's see if God does, in fact, protect you. And if you came for power, I'll make it easy. Just bow down. See, I'm very impressed by this insight by Martin Luther that could it be that the evil one wasn't all that sure and he wanted Jesus to dazzle him so he'd know that's the one I need to oppose. But what does Jesus do? He exercises restraint. He doesn't get nudged into showing off, because he refers back to God's word and God's purposes and God as the center of his life. Now, that's not the only time Jesus exercised restraint. Do you remember when he was asked by a group of people, give us a sign that we might believe? And Jesus basically said, nope. We want to make you king. That'll dazzle everyone. And Jesus said, no, won't do that either. What about those that might have wanted Jesus to blow their minds at the trial, you know, before Jesus was crucified? And once again, Jesus, nope, I won't do that either. And then we know that at the cross, he was ridiculed and badgered. And the statement was made, come down from this cross if you are the Son of God. And yet again, Jesus says what? Nope, I'm not doing that either. There are wonderful things Jesus did. There are signs and wonders. But whenever someone tried to press Jesus into doing something to in some way satisfy their unbelief, Jesus didn't do it. You know, I've admitted already, but let me say it again. Sometimes I'm weak and I struggle, and I want a display of power to reinforce my belief, to eliminate any doubt, so that what's going on inside of me, whatever that struggle might be, would be a little easier. I mean, after all, the God we serve has made rooms shake. He's made blind eyes see. He's cleansed the skin of lepers. Wouldn't he just pull off a little mini display of power so that I wouldn't struggle in my own formation? But what I see at the cross, I need to really lay a hold of, and that is that somehow in the refusal to show off, in our Lord's willingness to exercise restraint, he is challenging the development of faith to happen more naturally and more deeply. And somehow, I don't know how it is, but the mystery of the kingdom is that through these weaknesses, the kingdom of God is unleashed. What a mystery. So I think I'll tell you this here on Sling Stones, something you're already well aware of, that there are times in which I experience weakness. And it may be that I will always, to some degree, experience that weakness, those struggles with anxiety, this tripping into a ditch yet again. And yet what I have seen, that there's this uncanny, mysterious ability of Jesus to move through people that are weak and are experiencing these difficulties in such a way that it almost helps heal other people, encourage other people, advance the kingdom even in the midst of weakness. There's something sacramental that can take place. And while Jesus promised that he would always be with me, and there's a degree to which he is closer than hands and feet, and he is generous and loving, it can also be true that he whispers in the moments of our weakness and simply says, we'll get through this together. No fire, no wind, no theophany, no angel visit, but the promise of Jesus that his strength can flow through our weakness in a way that advances the kingdom. And the question is, am I all right with that? I've seen it happen many, many times, and I guess the issue is, yeah, I want to be all right with that. And I'm willing to let my own weakness, these places where I'm asking Jesus to show off and dazzle me, am I willing to allow those weaknesses to be a channel of his grace to others, even if I'm still going to need to struggle with discomfort and pain until my own resurrection? I want you to think about the cross. Jesus felt real pain there. He experienced the draining out of his life there. It was a real death there. And it doesn't appear that there was anything that happened to lessen that pain. And yet in that sacramental moment, in that weakness, God was able to redeem all those that put their trust in Christ. And the resurrection did come. But he still endured suffering, though there was joy set before him. And so could it be that there are times I need to be very careful not to ask Jesus to show off and dazzle me, because he has a greater plan, a deeper formation in my life, but also a greater life in the broken that I get the opportunity to serve? Well, will you think about those things? Pray about them. If they minister to you, that's God's good grace. If they don't, well, let my thoughts blow away like dust in the wind. God bless you, and may you know that God's face shines on you.